Psalm 84 and verse number 10 tonight. I know I'm a loud mouth, but boy, that was awful loud, wasn't it, Brother Jake? Psalm 84, we're going to begin reading in verse number 10 tonight. And as I'm going to bring this tonight, I want to talk about just thankful. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I thought about that, Brother Cullen, this old boy on the board, when he got right and got with the Lord there, and the Lord had touched him. Can you imagine? Said he immediately got up. Can you just imagine what went on in his mind? He didn't worry about it. He didn't get caught back up. All he wanted to be was a doorkeeper in the house. Whatever. It didn't matter. Whatever the Lord had him do, that's what he wanted to do. Tonight, I want to share with you, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And on my paper, I wrote down, I've got a second chance to just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I've got a second chance just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Psalm 84, verse number 10. I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Psalm 84 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, I thank you that you've allowed me one more night to stand behind this sacred desk and to preach, thus saith the word of God tonight. Father, I pray for the ones that's going to go for our reports. Lord, I ask you to just to bless them, Father, this week. Lord God, watch over them. I pray for Sister Nicole tonight and the baby as they go back. Father, Lord, I pray that the scans show nothing. Lord, I know your hand's there. I know it's already touching. I know that baby's already healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother Don Cargyle. Lord God, that Brother Harold lifted up tonight. Father, Lord, I pray that 50-50 chance, Lord, that's been given to him. Father, I pray that that 50 to the good would show up, Father. Lord, I pray you'd reach down and heal that cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for that tonight. I praise you for that tonight. I glorify you for that tonight. Father, I'm asking you for all these prayer requests that I've left out tonight, that you would touch in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight that whoever thinks they don't have a big role in this church, I want to show them tonight how important just to be a doorkeeper is in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray tonight that you bless, you watch over, be with VBS this week, be with them kids that's going to come. Lord, there's 32 done signed up, Lord God. I pray that, Father, that salvation come out of them numbers, Father, in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for the end of the road ministry. Lord, I pray salvation come there as well. Lord, I thank you for the two that made a decision Sunday, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for that. I don't want to take that for granted. I thank you for what you do in this local body. Lord, I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you, and let it be clear in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Tonight as we come and we look in Psalm 84 tonight, hear the psalmist. He said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God. I want to say to you tonight, this man of God, he realized tonight that being in the house of God spiritually is all that matters. Just being in the house of God spiritually is all that matters, and being in the family. Now, did he mean just literally being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, coming here and keeping that door? That's not really what he meant. What he really meant was, is that no job he did, it didn't matter whatever God wanted him to do. So many folks want the big things of God and would never be willing to do the small things of God. Do you know how many people want the big things of God and they're never willing to do the small things of God? But tonight, there is no big thing or small thing with God. Everyone, get this tonight, everyone and everything is important to God. Every person, everything you do, everywhere you go is important to God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do," it doesn't matter where you go or what you do, the Bible says, "Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So why should I rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God? Why should I want that relationship with God to be open? Hey, to be a doorkeeper, you open a door, you close a door. That's what a doorkeeper does. But why is that important tonight to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? Why is it important to have that relationship tonight? I want to look with you, if you will, in verse number 10 first. And I see, number one, that there's provision in the house of God. You say, what does that word mean, preacher? What does provision mean? Your supply or what what you need is going to come from God. Tonight, what you need in your life is going to come from God. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Anything in your life that you get tonight, it's got to come from God. If it's going to be what God will allow it to be in your life, that provision is only found in the house of God. Look with me in verse number 10, if you will. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. He said, I'd rather have one day in the courts of God than a thousand without Him. Can I get an amen? He said, I'd rather be one day in the presence of God than a thousand without Him. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun. I see tonight He's supply. He's a supply tonight because God is a sun. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means He is our light source. He is our heat source. He is who supplies us tonight. Tonight, if you're a child of God and your light's not shining, just make sure you get back to being that doorkeeper. You get back to where God would have you to be. He is that sun. He is what lights you tonight. Not only is He our light source, but He is our heat source. If you're getting cold and you're getting calloused and you're getting complacent where you're at, and it could care less if you come or if you stay at home, you need to get back close to the heat source. You need to get back to the fire. You need to get back to the where God would have you to be. If you get cold in the ministry, you get cold in what God has called you to do, it's because you've drifted away from the light source. It's because you've drifted away from the heat source. There's been many a times I've been out in the sun and I didn't wear a hat, and I'd come in and Brandy say, I can tell you've been in the sun. Man, it's shining all over you. You've been in the sun. You've been where it's hot. You know why? Because it shows on my face. It shows on my face. You can tell when a man or woman's been in the presence of God. It'll show all over their life. Not only is He the light, but He is the heat that we have tonight. He said that He is our sun tonight, but also He is our shield. Look what the Bible says in verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. So tonight, I want you to know this. If God is a sun, and He's my light source, and He's my heat source, God is also my shield, and He keeps us from the baking heat of this life. So He's going to shield me that I don't get too hot or get too baked by the sun. Tonight, you say, preacher, can I get too much sun? You can in the world we live in, but you can't get too much of the S-O-N. Amen. You cannot get too much of the Son Jesus. He keeps us from baking in the heat. So I tell you tonight, to be in the house of God, there's provision in the house of God. He is our sun, He is our shield, and God is our supplier or storehouse tonight. If you're lacking tonight, you get where God is tonight. Amen. Don't worry about God getting where you're at. You get where God is. A lot of times people say this. They say, I tell you what, I've got every bit of God. I've got all the God I want. And that's okay, but the question is, does God got all of you? Now, a lot of times you get all the God you want because you want a little bit of Him. But does God have all of you? Now, that's the big story tonight. Does God have everything in your life? As He is the one that supplies your needs. As He is the one that supplies for you. He is the one that gives you the sun. He's the one that gives you the shield. He is the supplier. You say, preacher, do you believe that tonight? I believe that in a mighty way. I believe that tonight, that God is the one that supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory. When I need something, Brother Jared, you know what? He don't have to go in the closet and look around. He don't have to get dust off of it. He supplies my needs according to His riches in glory. Woo, glory. I don't know about you, but that does me good. He supplies my needs according to His riches in glory. Turn with me, if you will, to Malachi chapter number 3 tonight and verse number 10. I want to show you this in the Bible. You say, preacher, are you sure He's my supplier tonight? I guarantee you tonight, He is your supplier. Woo, glory. God is our supplier or storehouse. And you say, preacher, how did I get this opened up? Let me give you this. I'll just give you a little bit of Bible study. I can't hardly Bible study. I just like to preach. I can't help it. But let me give you this tonight. God, there's provision in the house of God. He is our supplier tonight. But I'm going to give you this, okay? I'm going to tell you about the storehouse. When you take your hands and you fist them up and you close them up and you don't give to God and you won't give God what He's wanting you to give, when you close your hands, He closes His hands. When you close your hands and you close your fist up and you say, I'm not going to help Brittany in need. I'm not going to help Sister Dolores in need. I'm not going to meet this need, even though I know God's beating on my heart and He's wanting me to help and He's wanting me to go forth. And when you grasp your fist, God grabs His fist. When you say, I'm not going to do it, God said, okay, I can't neither. You have cut me off on the blessings that I want to bless you with. You have cut me off of what I really want to give you. Now, I want you to know there's a lot of us in this place. We get there and I'm one of them. I'm one of them tonight. But I have to get to the place where my palms stay open. I'm praising Him. I'm worshiping Him. And when He lays something on my heart, I must give forth what He wants me to give. You say, preacher, what do you mean tonight? Look with me, if you will, to Malachi tonight, chapter number 3. I want to show you this in the text. If you want that provision and you want him to be what he needs to be in your life, what he says. He says this in Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 6. If you found your place, say amen. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. In the Old Testament, New Testament, he's the same. Hey, when the Bible split from old to new, God didn't change. God didn't change. He is still the same. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of our fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He said, you're not doing what I told you to do. Tonight, if you say, preacher, I don't see that provision or how he is supplying, my needs are not being met, you need to return unto God. Return unto me in verse 7, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, you come unto me, and I'll come to where you're at. He said, return unto me, you hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? He said, where am I going to go, Lord? What do you want me to do? He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. God said, will a man rob God? God said, you robbed me. He said, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and in offerings. And he said, because in tithes and offerings you have robbed me, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. And here's what I want to tell you, how he's your supplier tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know about... Let me tell you that. It's not up for discussion. It's Bible. It's not up for discussion tonight. There was a time, me and Brandy... We'd been living for the Lord and doing what he wanted us to do. And may have been 2 or 3 years into the ministry, just living for the Lord, born again. And we had an individual in a rehab in Birmingham. He was in a drug rehab, and we'd go see him on weekends, and we'd go on Fridays. And I'd tell Brandy, here's what was my thinking, and here's what I thought was right, and I thought it was just, and I thought it was pure, and I thought it was good. My motive was right, okay? My motive was right, but it was wrong. I had a pure heart. I mean, I was doing it out of a right heart, but it was wrong. And we'd go to Birmingham on Saturday, and I'd say, we need to leave him some money when we go. We don't need to just leave him and tell him we love him and not put something in his pocket. And I said, well, we ain't really got a whole lot right here. I said, what we'll do, we'll take our tithes and offerings and we'll give them to him and we'll bless him with them so he'll have money throughout the week, and God will love that and God will bless that. So we'd go on Saturday, we'd see the individual, when we left, we'd slide our, he didn't know it, but we'd slide our tithes and offerings over, we'd go back home, and man, we'd feel good about ourselves. Well, we'd feel real good about ourselves, Sister Brittany. And it comes Sunday. We didn't put nothing in the plate. It come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tires tearing up on the car. Windshield wipers breaking. Things just ain't lining up. And I just, next Saturday, I'd go and I'd slide my tithes and offerings over to him. I felt great, man. I was justified in what I did. Felt good about it. That went on for about a month. And I kept going this way in a hole. And I went to my preacher one day. And I called him by name. I said, brother, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But he's not supplying my needs according to his riches and glory. And I had a good pastor. Unlock y'all. I had a good pastor. And he said, let's take a check then. Let's do a checklist. That's okay. He says, is there any known sin in your life that you've not asked forgiveness for? I said, to my best of my ability, I've called it out. I've done what the Lord's asked me to do. And I come on down. And he said, about you and your wife? I said, we're great. I think everything's good. I'm loving her. She's loving me. He said, and we went on down the list. And the last thing he asked me, Brother Austin, he said, what about your tithes and offerings? He said, I don't look what goes in the plate. It ain't none of my business. And by the way, it ain't nobody else's business in this church. What you put in the plate ain't nobody's business in this place. What goes in that plate ain't nobody's business. You're not giving to the pastor. You're not giving to the church. You're giving to God, that his ministry might go forth. You didn't owe me nothing for that. So I told him, I said, and he got down tithes and offerings. He said, what about that? I said, yeah, man, I'm tithing, giving offerings. He said, okay. I said, but how I'm doing it is we got a friend in rehab, and I've been sliding him money. And he said, oh, that's the problem right there. He just stopped. He said, that's your problem. I said, what? He said, that's your problem. He said, you're giving your money in the wrong place. You're putting it in the wrong place. You ain't putting it in the right place. And he got excited about it. I was thinking, well, you're still getting paid. I wasn't but 2 years in. I hadn't been saved. I didn't know. And he said, son, that's why everything's going wrong. You're putting it in the wrong place. You're not giving to God. You're giving to an individual. And I said, well, I don't understand. He said, okay, just let me give it to you how you can understand. I said, he said, you're working at Sproul Trust. I said, yeah, sure am right now. He said, what you going to do on Thursday? Payday come, and you go to get your check. And he says, I tell you what, I didn't want to give it to you this week. I'm giving it to somebody else. I said, I'd be fighting mad. I said, I'd be wanting my money. He said, you're robbing God. But more than that, you're robbing yourself. I said, how? He said, bring your tithes and offering to the storehouse. He said, I will put a blessing on you. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Keep reading verse 10. I will open the windows of heaven and I'll pour a blessing out on you that you cannot handle. You ever seen somebody be blessed and so you get mad because they're being blessed and you're like, I can't, everything they touch just turns into money. Everything they touch, they just bless. You know why? Because they're doing what the Bible says. Y'all don't believe that or y'all don't amen that. Favor ain't fair when you do it the right way. Let me show you. He said, preacher, you believe in giving and tithing? I believe it. We tithe and we give because God requires it. It's not a recommendation. It is a requirement. And when you start giving what you're supposed to get, that's why he set it up with 10%. Your 10 ain't my 10. My 10 ain't your 10. But 10% is not an offering. That's a tithe. So if all you've done is gave 10%, you've never gave an offering. All you've done is tithe. You've never gave an offering. And he said, if you want the devourer to get away from your house, you bring it to the storehouse, not to your friends, not to your neighbors, not down the road, but you bring it to where you go. You bring it to your local body. You bring it to where you're at, and you tithe it. Look what he says. He said, preacher, you think the devourer will leave? I guarantee you, according to the word of God. Look what he said. There's been times me and Brandy, you can ask her, you had to tithe your way out of trouble. Now listen, if you're sitting in here and you got a big old fat pocketbook, you ain't got a whole lot knowing what I'm talking about. But when you ain't got nothing, and you say, God, I've got to trust your word, it'll change your outlook. Here's what he says. A lot of folks, four tires ain't nothing. Let them all blow at the same time is a pretty good chunk. Look what he says. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me. He said, try me. You want a blessing? He said, try me. He said, try me. He said, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you, not who did he tell it? You. I'll pour you. I've heard David Barnes tell it a many a times, and Dylan won't mind. Dylan's a good old boy. He won't mind. David said, Dylan been wrecked 5 vehicles. I said, yeah. I said, he was sleeping late at night and late getting to work. He'd been wrecking his vehicles. He said, I asked him. I said, what'd you ask him, David? I asked him, you been tithing? You been doing what you're supposed to do, boy? I said, did you, David? He said, yeah. He said, all that bad ain't coming unless he's holding back somewhere. Thank God for a daddy like that. He said, preacher, I don't got it. Listen, you got what God's blessed you with. If it ain't but just a penny, that if that penny's what you owe, that's what you owe. Look what he says. He said, it being not enough room to receive it. Look at verse 11. When you do what he requires you to do, look what he said he'll do. And I, talking about God, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. When that devourer's wanting to come, he's wanting to take your hot water heater out, your air-conditioned unit and everything else, he said, I will rebuke him. I'll get him out of your way. Look what he says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. I see tonight there's provision in the house of God. That's why I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I know where my help comes from. Let me move on there. This thing got quiet in here. Praise God. Harvest Sunday, Brother Les. Just laugh. Come on, shake it off. If you're doing what you're supposed to, it ain't bothering you. You just amen and bring it, son. Bring it. Okay. I see there's provision in the house of God, but in verse number 11 also I see there's a promise in the house of God. Now he's going to supply you and he promises you he will. He promises you, I got you took care of. Look what he says in verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's a promise in the house of God in verse number 11. The Lord will give. That's a promise. That's a promise that you got. What will he give, preacher? Look in your verse here. He will give you grace. What is that? What is that grace when you're in his presence and you're walking uprightly and you're doing the best you can do and you're still slipping up? Let me show you what he'll show you. He will show you grace. Now, if you're out there in the honky-tonk living any way you want to, don't be looking for that grace. Don't get grace mixed up with what God can do. He'll give you grace when you're trying your best to live according to what He's called you to do, and you slip up, He's going to show you grace. What is that grace, that love that He gives you? Number one, it's love. Number two, it's kindness. He's going to show you kindness. He's going to show you forgiveness. But I love this word that you'll find here, what this grace is. When you're upright and you're trying to do what God's called you to do and things ain't lining up, He will show you leniency. He will. You keep coming, you keep doing what God's called you to do, you keep reading your Bible, keep praying, just keep doing, be that doorkeeper, just keeping the door open that it don't get closed between you and God. Lord, just keep it open. He'll show you leniency. He'll give you grace, but He'll also give you glory. Look what He says in verse number 11, we'll give grace and glory. What's glory? Glory is honor in what you do for Him, not man's honor, God's honor. When you do it for Him, it doesn't matter what you do. If you'll do it for Him, He'll give you grace, He'll give you glory, and He will give you good things. Look what He says here. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's a promise tonight. Let me give you this, and turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 103 tonight. Psalm 103 tonight. I want to show you this in the Bible. And you say, what good things will He not hold back from me, preacher? What will He open up the windows of heaven and pour out on me? Psalm 103 tonight. Here's what He'll do. He is loaded with benefits, by the way. When you come to know Christ, man, you got benefits like you ain't never seen. Psalm 103, verse number 3, here's what He does. He will forgive all thine iniquity. Psalm 103, 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquity? He forgives all your sins. You talking about a good thing. To have your sins forgiven, that's a good thing. Come on, y'all. That's a good thing. He forgives all thine iniquity. He healeth all thy diseases. Sister Nicole, all the diseases. Don't worry about that, baby. All. You're good. Forgiveth all thy iniquity. Heal all thy diseases. Psalm 103 and verse number 4, what does He do? He redeemeth. He redeemeth us from destruction. Even though destruction comes, He delivers us from it. He, not only that, but He cleanses us with loving kindness and tender mercies in verse number 4. In verse number 5, not only does that, but He satisfies thy mouth with good things. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies your mouth with good things. They took all my sweets away, Brother Jackie. No sweets. No Little Debbie cakes. And that's been rough around the house. About 76 days right now. And we've been looking for some sweets, huh? Can I get amen? We're looking for a provision and we're looking for promise. I know there's a way to supply if we'll just do it. So my wife, let me make sure I ain't running. Ooh, glory. So my wife, I told her, she said, I'm going to make you a dessert that you can have. And she made it Monday night. Sunday night, she made this dessert. And it's not, you don't buy it at the store now. You got to make it. That lets some of you out, I know. You got to make it. You got to put your hand to it. Everything at the store, just because it says fat-free. No. So she brought that thing in, Brother Brad, and it was angel food cake. But it's in the box. It hadn't already been made. You got to make it. You take that angel food cake. You take you some blueberries. That's the good ones. You know, you have all that stuff you want. Because it's real sugar. Put them blueberries in there. Don't put nothing with it. And I don't know how to cook. She's told me this. You put it in your pan and you whip that thing. Son, she get to whipping it too. And she get that thing whipped up and pour it in that pan. And it's about that big. That's all it is, that thick. And she stick it in that oven. I come walking by and she had the oven light on. I looked in there. It was, I promise. You tell me now. Preachers lie too. They don't mean to, but they will. Come on. We human. You find you a preacher ain't never lied and you get away from him. He just told you one. Because sometimes I tell you that, that cake, it is really, you know, but this cake is this high. It looks like it's going to blow out of the stove. And it'll get that high. She'll bring it out and I'm saying, I'm getting some of that. She'll lay it out there on the thing there by the stove. I'll come back in there and what was that high? It went down to that. Because there's nothing in it. It gets big and there ain't nothing in it. And she'll take Cool Whip, but it's got to cool down first or the Cool Whip will melt and it just gets soggy and nasty. It don't satisfy your taste. Listen to me. Some of you in here tonight, you may just, but man, the Lord, it still got soggy. It ain't like it used to be. It don't satisfy like it used to. We're just going to church. I don't want to go to church. I hate going to church. I love going to worship. But she'll spread that on there. You say, preacher, what do you do? It's fat-free. Sunday night, that thing got in the refrigerator. I let it cool, chill overnight. I got up Monday morning. I didn't look for an egg. You know what I looked for, Brother Austin? That cake. I got up like a hound dog, son. I wanted something that would satisfy my taste. I went in there and I cut me a piece out about like that. Laid it up on my plate. I ate that whole thing. Monday night, you know what I did by that 13 by 10 or 13 by whatever pan? I crinkled that thing up and put it in the garbage can. It was gone. You know why? Because when you get something that's good, you'll eat all of it. When you get something that's right, that gets your taste buds. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that God is good. If you ain't never tasted him and you ain't never got it, I'm talking about get a hold of him. Let him get a hold of you. Wrap yourself up in Jesus. I'm talking about the promises of God will flow through you like you ain't never seen. There'll be a supply from heaven that'll come your way. It'll come down where you're at and it'll satisfy your mouth. It'll satisfy your cravings. He said, preacher, you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. That's what I live by. Tonight, I want to ask you, are you satisfied with what God's doing in your life right now? There's provision. There's a promise. But not only when you're a doorkeeper. He didn't say you had to be a preacher for him to do that for you. He didn't say that. He said just be a doorkeeper. Just keep the door open between you and him. He said, I'm the door. Just keep the door open. Hey, just keep the door. Just sit there. Hold that door. Just hold it. Lord, you want to go through here? Come on. Whatever you want to do with my life, just come on. I'm open to you. I'm open to anything you want me to do. Lord, anything you got for me, I'm open to it. I won't close it, Lord. I'm a doorkeeper. I'm here. I'm letting whatever you want to do, whatever you call me to do, you just do it. Nobody want to fit you. They can't offend me enough to run me off. They can't do enough to run me. Lord, I'm going to stand right here and I'm not going to move. I'm just going to stand. You just do whatever you want to do. It don't matter. You just do it and I'm going to be pleased with it. You say, preacher, what is that? There's provision. There's supply here when you got the door open. There's a promise when that door is open. And can I say to you, there's protection when that door is open. When that door closes, there's no protection. You don't know what's behind. You keep that door open. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You need to keep that door open. You said, preacher, what do you got to do? Sometimes you got to put your back. Sometimes you got to get all the way backed up against it, and you just got to stand there. When the gates of hell are beating against you, you just got to stand against that door. You got to stay in the house of God. You got to stay where God have you to be. You got to stay there. You can't move. You got to stay. You know how many people are getting out? You know how many people are leaving? I'm not talking about leaving this church. I'm talking about leaving the Lord, getting away from Him, think it's not worth it. They're sick and tired of living that life. They think the devil's told them it's better back yonder. He's a liar. Read your Bible. He's a liar. When they start telling you it's better over yonder, he's a liar. Don't you listen to him. Don't you listen to him. And when you leave, the protection is gone. He's withdrew that hand off of you. He's letting you have it your way. Don't do that. Don't do that. You say, preacher, it's hard being a Christian. Oh, yeah, but it's a lot harder when you go back on the other side. It's a lot harder when you step back over there and start living anyway. There's protection on this side. Just being a doorkeeper. Let me show you this protection. I want to show you this tonight before we close. Let me show you this protection right quick in the house of God. Look in verse number 12 of your text tonight, if you will. Psalm 84, and if you will, verse number 12 tonight. Psalm 84 and verse number 12. Let me show you this protection that's there. Psalm 84 and 12. He said, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. There's that protection. When you trust in him, what will he do, preacher? He protects our walk. He protects our stand. He protects us when we are sitting. Psalm 91 and verse number 1, you say, preacher, that protection there. Here's what he said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know tonight, when you abide as a doorkeeper and you stay, the old boy on the backboard, Mark chapter number 2, he's in with the Lord now. He's hooked up. He's heaven bound, son. He's heaven bound. He's there with the Lord. Do you know when you abide and Satan throws his attack, it can't hit you? All you get's the shadow of, you're under the shadow. You're not getting the whole attack. Holy Ghost is taking every bit of it. You may be getting a little trimming here, a little trimming there, but the Holy Spirit's blocking off. If you didn't have that Holy Ghost living inside of you, you know what kind of whooping you'd really take? You'd take a bad whooping. But because I'm in the house of the Lord and I'm a doorkeeper and I'm just standing there and I'm saying, Lord, you got to supply. If it's going to work, you're going to have to make it work. He's my protection. He's my provider. He's my peace. He's everything I need tonight. He is everything I need. I want to give you this. Make sure I got time. I'm going to give you this. I just got saved. Hadn't been saved long at all. And me and Brandy, man, I was on fire for God. You hear me? I hadn't been saved. Somebody gets saved and 2 weeks they ain't on fire. I wonder if they even got saved. I wonder where that seed fell. Maybe it fell by the wayside. Them folks are lost. Read your Bible. They're lost. Matthew 13, them that fell by the wayside, they heard the word, but it fell by the wayside. Them are lost, folks. Them are lost. Them that fell on stony ground, they're lost. Read your Bible. Those that fell in the thorns, now they're unfruitful. They're saved, but they have no fruit. And then you got the good ground. And I thank God at that moment in my life it fell on good ground. And he set a fire down. And I just wanted to do anything. Anything. It didn't matter. And you hardly find that anymore where people say, just anything. It don't matter. Whatever you want me to do in church, I just want to do it. It don't matter. Now they'll preach. They'll do devotions. They'll sing. But don't give me no job. And I told my preacher, I said, I won't do anything. He said, all right, clean toilets. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to be watching you make sure they're clean. I said, okay. So I clean toilets. Me and Brady clean toilets. We clean them to the best of our ability. I'm talking about clean them. I mean, clean them. Like, man, I'm talking about clean them. I'm talking about scrubbed them. I'm talking about cleaned them. You know, woo, you know where your toilet lid lifts up, and that's about... Y'all know where your toilet, behind your toilet lid. We ain't at church. They don't get it, Sister Brittany. That was clean. That's how you know if it's clean or not. You're going to somebody's home and that back of that toilet lid back there, if that thing's dirty, they ain't clean. We clean that. We clean everything. Why? Because we want to do what God's called us to do. We want to do what God's called us to do. Listen to me tonight. If you won't take care of the little things, never expect him to elevate you to the big things. If he can't trust you in the little, he won't trust you in the big. If you're wondering why you ain't moved no further than you are, it may be because you're not being faithful in the small things. This morning I was on the phone with Brother Don Sproul, 9 o'clock. I wasn't going to go visit him face-to-face personally. You know, he's over recovering. And I heard him on the phone. And I heard him. He said, oh man, everything's good. And in my spirit, I said, no, it ain't good. No. And I texted his wife and I said, can I come visit? Because you know how men are. Can I come visit? No, I'm good, man. We all good. Everything good, brother. I said, okay. I said, can I come visit? She said, sure. Pulled up to their house. They had the garage door open. And I walked in. As soon as I walked in his house, I seen me sitting on his couch. I ain't about 70 days ahead of him. And when I walked in, he was sitting there like I was with them shoulders all the way up. Like this right here. Because when you let it down, Brother Harold, it hurts. You hold it up. You're on guard. It don't hurt as bad. You know what I'm talking about. And when I walked in, I said, brother, I knew when I talked to you on the phone, you just holding them shoulders up. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to wear yourself out trying to tote that load all by yourself. You're going to let it down. You're going to just let it down. Tonight I'm talking to somebody. Just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Write what he's called you to do. Let him be your provision. Let him be that. Let him be your protection tonight. Let him be that promise in your life. Quit trying to tote it all yourself and just let it down. You know what he's attracted to tonight? Not fame. No. Fame does not attract Jesus. Fortune doesn't attract Jesus. You know what attracts him? Weakness. Brokenness. Lord, I can't, but if you sure would, I'd appreciate it. That's what attracts him. And he said, the psalmist said, I'd just soon be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd just soon be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd soon have one day with him than 1,000 years without him. I thought about something, Brother Jerry, and I called your name tonight a bunch. You've been out in the sun. I see it on your face. I thought about these 70 days that I've had, Brother Les. And if I'm not going to do no more than I did before my surgery, what good is having extra days? It ain't worth nothing. If I'm not going to get invested in more than I was then, what good is it now? A lot of us wants a long life. We want to live a long time. But if I'm going to do the same thing I was doing, what good is it? Hezekiah, man, you read your Bible. He wanted more time. They gave him 15 more years. He should have died out before then. He didn't do nothing but leave a bad name. His son was the wickedest king ever lived. He didn't leave a good legacy. Why? Tonight I want to leave it better than I found it. And I just want to be a doorkeeper. for Jesus. Tonight, where are you at with the Lord? Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, I just thank you tonight when I read that verse that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Father, that's just low. That's where you want me. Father, that's where you want everybody in this room. You want us on the bottom shelf that we can hear from you, we can learn from you, you can give us what we need in our life. You can open the windows of heaven. Your book said you'd pour out a blessing that we'd not be able to contain it. Father, wouldn't even know where it came from. We'd have to say it came from you. Lord, I'm asking you tonight for that one that's in here that needs a touch, that has a need physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be, I ask you to touch them tonight. Lord, I pray you open the windows of heaven and pour it out on them tonight. Lord, I pray that your blessings would fall in this place. Lord, I don't come in with doom and gloom. I come in with a word to tell them that you are their provider tonight. You are their promise and you're their protector and you take care of everything. So we ought not worry about it. We just ought to let you have it. And Father, I pray tonight you bless this VBS coming up. Father, I pray Saturday when they give the time of invitation that kids be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for the end of the road ministry. Lord, we've just been doorkeepers for you. And Lord, I want to keep that door open here at Union Chapel as well, that folks might see you and come to know you before it's eternally too late. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it.